I did enjoy the time we did spend with the youth and the things that happened there. And anyway, one of our main focuses all week was the whole idea of, and Nathan was trying to explain this, and that was good. Where's he at? Here. Somewhere here. There. No. Where's Nathan? There he is. And good job. Was the idea of a plumb line. How many people even know what a plumb line is? We use lasers and levels today, right? Who uses a plumb line? Do you use a plumb line? Tell us what you use it for.
For balancing, when I do a weight balance on the aircraft, I use a plumb line to make sure the fuselage is level.
Okay, so to make sure the fuselage is level, whatever that is. That's but that thing has to be level, right? Plumb line. Does anybody that don't know what a plumb line is? Have you ever heard of a plumb line? Anybody that never heard of a plumb line? Benji, do you use a plumb line? Yeah. There you go. That's the plumb line. Gravity's still gravity, and things will hang straight. That's a picture of a plumb line. Plumb Bob. The line is above it. Plumb Bob. He's right. He's dead on. It's right. That's a plumb Bob. The line, what that plumb Bob does, it keeps that line above it perfectly straight. And that's the whole idea of God's Word and understanding God's righteousness. And that was one of the things we focused on all week, was the idea that God has a plumb line. And it doesn't matter whether you're at Shiloh, Lighthouse, Whispering Pine, Cold Spring. It doesn't matter where you are at. That plumb line never changes. Never. It don't matter if you go to Africa or if you go to Mexico or you go to Guatemala or you go to Belize or you go to, it don't matter where you go, in culture, the plumb line never changes. Never. We can have different ideas in culture and different ideas and things, but that plumb line never changes. Never. It is the same to you, and it's the same thing that God said. He's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. That never changes. And too many times, what we run into a lot of is that people want to take culture and change plumb line by culture. Culture does not change plumb line. One of the ideas of that plumb line is that God has a righteousness, and it starts, and the idea is He gave us the Ten Commandments so we could start to line up, to understand, not to line up to the Ten Commandments, but that the Ten Commandments would point to what's wrong in our life so we would go to Jesus Christ and repent and there find freedom and grace at the foot of the cross. But what we are starting to do more and more and more, and is becoming more and more prevalent, is that we want to throw away the law. Jesus fulfilled the law. And we live above the law. And this is all true. But the law still points to what's wrong in our life, just like that plumb line. Just like that plumb line. That points to God's righteousness. So that when something in our life does not line up with that, we will go to Jesus Christ. And there we find freedom in Christ. That's the idea of the plumb line. But we cannot allow our culture to change that plumb line. One of the things that I see a lot of is the idea, you know, at one time, just for instance, at one time, it probably isn't even 50 years ago, you wouldn't even heard the discussion in a Christian church whether divorce and remarriage was against God's plumb line. You would have never heard that discussed at all. Now, we've just pushed that aside and said, well, now it's whether or not homosexuality. What do we do with that? And we start trying to justify this part of it and this part of it and this part of it and that. And we take our focus off of the plumb line. And the whole concept this morning I want to try and convey to you is that that plumb line is never changing. It never changes because of culture or the times we live in or wherever we're at. So the first verse I have for us that we want to look at, Amos 7:8. Behold, I am setting a plumb line in the midst of my people. And it's not about the display of the cross on your neck or in your home. It's not all about the alignment of your living. It's all about the alignment of your living, the plumb line of God, that we're lining our life up with that plumb line, that it never shakes. Because the plumb bob of God will hold that line straight. All we need to do is look at it. It's like some people come into the office, we sit down and meet with them for counseling, and we start trying to work through, and they can't figure out why there's so many things that are going wrong in their life, and there's certain things going on, and it's that we start digging into these things, and we say, well, is there bitterness? Is there unforgiveness? Well, yeah, but... No, wait. That goes against God's plumb line. Then you wonder why there's things going wrong in your life. We look at God's plumb line and say, wait a minute, he said if we don't forgive, he won't forgive us either. Oh, wait a minute. So let's deal with the forgiveness. Let's deal with the bitterness. Let's deal with the whatever's going on in a person's life. Let's deal with that and see how God sets your life in order. It is actually a very simple tool, really. It's a very simple tool. It is not hard to understand. You take a string, hang a plumb bob on the end of it, and that string will be perfectly straight. You take your life, and you put God and his laws and his righteousness on the end of it, and that line will be perfectly straight. We are the ones that waver from it. We are the ones that try and push the line around and figure out, well, I have a right. I have a right to be unforgiving or unloving or uncaring or whatever. And we start pushing that line because we start taking our focus off of God and his righteousness and putting it on my feelings. One of the things I had the youth do this past week was take three words. Anybody have a pen and a paper, write them down. Feeling, faith, and fact. Feeling, faith, and fact. I told them to write them down and put them in order the way God would set them in order. Where does God set that in order for our life? And I don't know if any of them got it right the first time. No. Andrew says no. Our culture has said it is all about a feeling. And then you put a faith or a belief system on a feeling. And then when you finally get a belief system established on a feeling, then you add the fact to it. That's world system. God says it's a fact that God is righteous. And it's a fact that his word is true. And it's a fact that he has a plumb line. And we build our faith or our belief system on that fact, on that plumb line. And out of that, we get a feeling of freedom, like what Lori was talking about. A feeling of freedom comes out of that. When the fact's first, the faith is second, and the feelings are third, it follows God's order of what he has established. Okay, Psalm 33:4-5 says, for God's word is solid to the core. Everything he makes is sound inside and out. He loves it when everything fits. When his world is in plumb line true, earth is drenched in God's affectionate satisfaction. When we are plumb line true, we are drenched in God's affectionate satisfaction. When we are plumb line true, again, the picture of that plumb line, that God's righteousness does not change from culture to country to church to world, anywhere we live, does not change that. Isaiah 28:16-17 says it this way. So this is what the sovereign Lord says. See, I lay a stone in Zion, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone, for a sure foundation. The one who relies on it will never be stricken with panic. I will make justice or integrity the measuring line. This past week, Rod, my brother-in-law Rod Musser and his wife were along, and they did these TDAs, and that came up with the whole thing of that team development activities, and they came up, or did he come up with that, or did y'all come up with that, totally dumb activities. Some of them were really, really hard, and there was some of them that he gave that were actually impossible to do, but until the group finally realized that it was impossible to do, he wouldn't say a word, until they all finally figured out that it was impossible to do. And they had to agree to not being able to do something, just to be able to agree to that. And that took an hour and a half, almost 2 hours for that one, until they finally got to the point where they realized this is impossible. And the idea was, some of these TDAs was the idea of integrity. And he would tell them, like one of them was this 100-foot rope. Everybody had a knot in it. There was a knot, 17 knots in it. Everybody was supposed to hang on to it right beside the knot with their left hand. They were not allowed to let go of the rope. And they were supposed to get all the knots out. They had to crawl through the rope, and all this kept going until they got all the knots out of that rope. And they couldn't. We weren't going to eat supper until they did that. Okay. Now, what Rod kept telling them was the idea that integrity is the measuring line, just like he's talking about here. Integrity. Did anyone let go of the rope? And they're like, no. Did anyone let go of the rope? Because if they did, they got to start all over. And there was times that it was easy to just quickly change a little bit something. Say, well, it wasn't quite off. It was just like this. Well, it was a little bit over here. It was like this. And he would always come back to this integrity. I will make integrity the measuring line. And then he says, and righteousness, the plumb line. Righteousness is God's righteousness. God has a righteousness. David, King David, was a man after God's own heart. Why? Because he understood the righteousness of God. Does that mean he didn't fail? No. No, but he understood that no matter what was happening around him, no matter who, what was all around him, he always knew that God's righteousness was forever. God's righteousness was going to stand, and he was going to follow that. That was who he was. That's why he had a heart. That's why he was considered a man after God's own heart, because of his righteousness, understanding God's righteousness, and that it was a plumb line. Then it says, hail will sweep away your refuge or your safe havens. The lie and water will overflow your hiding places. Sometimes we get stuck in things, and we try and hide behind people groups. We try and hide behind all kinds of things. Instead of facing integrity or facing God's righteousness, we try and do all kinds of things to try and cover it up and say, well, here's the way it is, okay? But this says, I will make integrity the measuring line and righteousness the plumb line. He says, hail will literally sweep away your refuge or your safe havens. The things that we kind of prop up to try and protect ourselves, them are all going to fall down. And I think that's a lot of what happened with that solitude day. All of a sudden, they couldn't go tell each other how Dwayne was so ignorant. He woke us up at 6:30 in the morning. And they couldn't even grumble to each other about it. They just couldn't say anything. And all of a sudden, it was a silence. They couldn't hide behind that. They couldn't hide behind anything to try and explain anything. So the only thing they could do is turn to God. And anyway, there's a lot of cool things happened out of that. Here's the idea of this plumb line that never changes. One thing we talked a lot about was the idea that we, as a Christian people, have watered down salvation. We have come up with this idea that just accept Jesus. And I asked them, I said, who said that? And where does that come from? And somebody piped up. I said, what would be the purpose of accepting Jesus as your Savior? They said, so we don't have to go to hell. I said, and who said that? Where does that come from? Who said that? When John the Baptist came preaching, he came out of the wilderness, and his cry was always, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He didn't say repent so you don't have to go to hell. Now, obviously, that goes with it, but that is never to be the focus. We are to repent, for this kingdom is at hand. This kingdom is A1. Okay? He was bringing a kingdom that we could be a part of that was not built with human hands, and you couldn't see it with human eyes. And then in Matthew 3, when Jesus started preaching, his very first message was repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He wanted people to repent from this, right here, world system, kingdom of darkness, and become part of this kingdom. And this kingdom are in opposition to each other. They have nothing in common. Absolutely nothing. There is nothing in common. They don't even pretend to like each other. The king of this kingdom and the king of this kingdom don't even pretend to like each other. There is nothing there. There are total opposition. And Jesus came preaching this very message. He said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And the way you're going to get into that kingdom is through me. Through me. You're going to get into that kingdom. That was a pretty hard message. Because all he asked is that they would repent from the world system and the kingdom of darkness and go through the cross, accept Jesus Christ, is the doorway into the kingdom. Today we have this idea, and this is one of the things that I was so excited that some of the youth come to me afterwards and we're talking about. They never saw this picture of Jesus died so we can believe in him and be part of that kingdom. They just thought you believe in Jesus so you don't go to hell. And I said, man, it's much bigger than that. It's huge. It's greater than all that. Don't water it down. If you're telling somebody about Jesus, don't water it down. Take it to the kingdom. It's because of that kingdom that we are called to accept Christ as our Savior. And we are buried with him, nailed to the cross. Our flesh gets nailed to the cross with him. And through the cross, we have a passage into that kingdom. And that kingdom has a plumb line. This is where it gets so confusing when we start trying to figure out, well, is it okay for homosexuality? What do we do with that? Well, we're not sure where this belongs in divorce and remarriage and all this stuff starts, and we're not sure where it all belongs. God's kingdom does not waver. That kingdom is sure, solid, built with his own plumb line. He has a plumb line, and that thing never wavers. Now, we can have all kinds of cultural things, and we can have all kinds of ideas of how to do things. We can have ways of doing church. We can have ideas of doing all kinds of stuff. But that plumb line never wavers. Never. It's solid. It's secure. And you can trust it. It is always right. That plumb line is never wrong. When it is God's plumb line, it lines up with God's word. It lines up with his kingdom. Amos 7, the whole book of Amos, chapter 7. And I'm just going to go through it. This is in the message. And I just want to read through the whole thing so you can see where this vision came in about the plumb line. Amos 7 says, God, my master, showed me this vision. He was preparing a locust swarm. The first cutting, which went to the king, was complete, and the second crop was sprouting. The locusts ate everything green. Not even a blade of grass was left. And I called out, God, my master! Excuse me, but what's going to come of Jacob? He's so small. God gave in. It won't happen, he said. So God showed me this vision. Oh, God, my master, was calling up a firestorm. It burned up the ocean. Then it burned up the promised land. And I said, God, my master, hold it, please. What's going to come of Jacob? He's so small. God gave in. All right, this won't happen either. God, my master, said. So God showed me this vision. My master was standing beside a wall. In his hand, he held a plumb line. And God said to me, "What do you see, Amos?" I said, "A plumb line." Then my master said, "Look what I've done. I've hung a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel. I've spared them for the last time. This is it. Isaac's sex and religion shrines will be smashed. Israel's unholy shrines will be knocked to pieces. I'm raising my sword against the royal family of Jeroboam. Amaziah, I guess, priest at the shrine at Bethel, sent a message to Jeroboam, king of Israel. Amos is plotting to get rid of you, and he's doing it as an insider, working from within Israel. His talk will destroy the country. He's got to be silenced. Do you know what Amos is saying? Jeroboam will be killed. Israel is headed for exile." Then Amaziah confronted Amos, seer, because they recognized Amos was seeing visions. He says, "Seer, be on your way. Get out of here and go back to Judah where you came from. Hang out there. Do your preaching there. But no more preaching at Bethel. Don't show your face here again. This is the king's chapel, and this is a royal shrine." They didn't want to hear what he had to say. But Amos stood up to Amaziah. "I never set up to be a preacher, never had plans to be a preacher. I raised cattle and I pruned trees. Then God took me off the farm and said, 'Go preach to my people, Israel.'" So listen to God's word. You tell me, don't preach to Israel. Don't say anything against the family of Isaac. But here's what God is telling you. Your wife will become a whore in a town. Your children will get killed. Your land will be auctioned off. You will die homeless and friendless. And Israel will be hauled off to exile far from home. In a few short words, I will say this. That plumb line is disregarded. That's exactly what's going to happen to the people when we disregard that plumb line. Mark my words. That is a powerful prophetic statement coming from Amos. That is I see it played out over and over and over and over when we disregard the righteousness of God and we just start agreeing with unrighteousness and we start agreeing with unrighteousness. And all of a sudden we can't figure out where is the solid foundation. Now, one of the things we talked about to explain this then is this here in Luke chapter 6. He says this, "Build on the rock." And I wouldn't mind if we'd sing that song as soon as I'm done. Okay, it won't take long. But that, we think it's a children's song, right? It says, I don't even know how it goes now. "The wise man built his house upon the rock." And we think that's a children's song. And it is. But it's an adult song. Listen to the words here. Verse 46 says, "But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say?" This plumb line. "Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood rose and the stream beat vehemently against that house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock." That plumb line, which is Jesus Christ. "But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." Here's the picture that I planted in their minds. This past week, was here's two houses that are identical. And if all we go by is what things look like on the outside, we have no concept or no clue which one is built on the rock and which one is built on the earth or on the sand. Matthew says it was built on sand. Luke says it was built on the earth. Anyway, no big deal. Difference is the same. But from the outside, you don't know which one it is. How did Jesus say you would know the difference? Anyone? How did Jesus say you would know the difference? When the storm comes, one's going to stand. When the floods come, one's going to stand and one is not. That rock of Jesus Christ, when the storms come, you can rest assured that when you are lining up with that plumb line, you don't have to fear
anything. Anything. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. There is nothing to fear when you are lining up with God's righteousness. You can walk through this world as brazen as can be. And that goes back to what I was sharing earlier about a warrior. That's why David was not afraid to go out to Goliath. That's why he had no fear of Goliath. He understood God and his righteousness. He was not afraid of it. The whole nation was so afraid of that Goliath. But he said, when the floodwaters come, the one that was built on the earth or on the sand. And I like what Luke says about being built on the earth, because we built on world systems. That one is going to crash. If we just simply agree what everybody feels and thinks around us, that one is going to crash. It's not going to withstand the floodwaters. It can't, because it's not built on that plumb line. Plumb line equals God's righteousness. Today, I just want to encourage everyone to take a solid look at what do you believe. Are we swayed by every wind of doctrine? Are we swayed by every little thing out there? Or do we line up with that righteousness and that plumb bob that God has given that lines up with this right here? Do we understand that God has a righteousness? And I'm not saying, sometimes we end up getting our idea of a plumb bob with what color shoes we wear to whether we have a black coat or a purple car or whatever. I mean, I'm just saying, that's not what we're talking about. We are talking about the righteousness of God, which he has so clearly established, even with the Ten Commandments, that was set there not to save anybody, but to point to what God does not call righteousness, so that we can go to Jesus and find freedom. Okay? Let's pray. Father, today, I just thank you for life. I thank you for your word, and I thank you for your plumb line that you have given each one of us, that we can line it up and know that you never fail. We make mistakes, we fail, but you never fail. And for that, we are so thankful that we can trust your plumb line. So, Father, as we go from here, I just pray that each one would be rooted and grounded on that solid rock, knowing that it was put there by your plumb line, by your righteousness. Thank you, God, for that promise, in Jesus' name. Amen. Can we just sing that song and then everybody can be dismissed?